Maybe to go back to when you were called back to work and talk about that somewhat too. When North American called you back, did they tell you where in the plant you'd be working?
Yes. Where did I work in? I work in structure.
Mm-hmm.
You would know what that is. Structures making the small parts that go on to the big parts.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I was working in structure, and I worked in structure for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Now, was that making the small parts? Was that at a bench, or was that?
Yeah, at a bench. At a bench. Uh-huh. At a bench.
Now, before, during the war, had you been looking at the same kind of work?
Yeah, same thing.
Would, did things change much in the time when you were gone?
No, didn't change.
Mm-hmm.
It was about the same.
Mm-hmm.
Same people would call back.
Mm-hmm. Were you active in the union at North?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still active in the union.
Mm-hmm.
I go to all the... That is, I go to all the picnics, to all the parties.
Mm-hmm. Did you go to meetings and things
like that? No, I don't go to meetings.
Did you then, I mean, when you were working, did you go? Or?
No, I didn't go even then.
Mm-hmm.
But you knew what was going on because you get a newsletter.
Mm-hmm.
And I still get that newsletter.
Mm-hmm.
I get a propeller, what they call the propeller.
Mm-hmm.
That keeps you up with all the everything that goes on in the union. We got a raise, 1st of January, $10 on our pension.
Uh-huh. Did, in what ways did the, union benefit you? I mean, what?
Oh, well, the union is beautiful. I wouldn't be without a union. I wouldn't, if I had to work again, I would never work in a place without a union.
Uh-huh.
Never.
What kinds of things did they do?
Well, the benefits are good. You know what I mean? You, the retirements and everything is for you.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, even if you're going to be a teacher, you should belong to the union.
Mm-hmm.
Because the union looks after you. See that you get a fair deal.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever... did you ever file a grievance or anything for the union?
No, I never had to. I've never had any trouble.
Uh-huh.
Like some of them were always filing a grievance. All of them, some of them.
Mm-hmm.
Troublemakers. I was never that type of a person to make trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Then after I retired, I started traveling. My travel, I went to the Far East,
mm-hmm.
and then I went to Alaska, then I came back from Alaska, and I went back and forth to New York,
mm-hmm.
and to, I've been to Atlanta, Georgia, then I went to Paris 3 times,
mm-hmm.
I've been to, South Africa. I told you I went to South Africa.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, I went to Cape Town, South Africa. And to Johannesburg. And when we got to Johannesburg, they weren't used to seeing American blacks.
Uh-huh.
But we were sort of apprehensive because we didn't know how we were going to be accepted.
Mm-hmm.
They accepted us with open arms and treated us as if, like they treat the Europeans.
Huh.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We stayed in the best hotels. And it was just beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful. Had lunch with the mayor.
Mm-hmm. So they didn't...
we were not segregated whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful country. Beautiful country. And then we met the different people. We met the colored people. And we met the blacks,
mm-hmm.
and the Indians, those people, they're separated one from the other.
Mm-hmm.
and the Zulus separated from the colored, and the colored from the whites, and the blacks from the colored. That's the way they're classified. And the people they call colored look like you. They do. Honestly, I said, these people are just as white as white people. Blonde and blue-eyed.
Now, is colored any kind of racial mix that's not...
It's not permitted down there. Oh, you don't mix down there. They don't allow it. But I see those women with blonde hair and blue eyes married to the married to colored, not to the blacks. See, the blacks are the Zulus.
How did you feel about that when you were down there?
I didn't feel a thing. Just had myself a good time. We had a wonderful time. And they took us on a tour. You saw the hospital that the first heart transplant plant took place. And it was just wonderful.
Did it seem strange to you to be in that kind of situation?
Nah. It was two ministers with us, too, in our group. Yeah, we had lunch with the mayor, who was an Englishman. And we told him that we had a colored mayor. And he was telling it to his people that they have a colored mayor. And he said, we have a colored congresswoman. And they had never heard of nothing like that. So then we left there and we went to Monrovia. Monrovia is where you see the real, real black African. They're beautiful people. Beautiful. You've never seen such beautiful black people in your life. As a real African. And they, a man 35 years old looked like he was about 80. He gets old all at once, you know. I better pay three of that. And Monrovia is where the first settlers, now that's in Africa, were Americans, American blacks. American color, yeah.
So this was in the movement, say, after the Civil War?
Yeah. Now you know more than I do. Now, you see, I didn't know that.
What made you decide to travel?
I wanted to. And so Walter, it was so expensive, he just said, you go. So I went and he stayed at home. And we went to Zambia, Kinshasa's and Zaire's. And we went to Zambia. And on this trip, our first stop was Cape Town, South Africa. We got on the plane in New York at 12 o'clock. And we didn't get off of that plane until 2 o'clock Tuesday. That's how long we were riding. And we stopped in Rio. And then we had to cross the ocean again to get over into South Africa. Some weary trip. Oh, so weary. And I I was traveling alone. I didn't have a roommate. I just met a lady while I was on the trip. And a couple from here. Young couple. And we made friends and we stayed together. Then while we were in Zambia, we went up to the Victoria Falls. you know, I know you read about the Victoria Falls, and they were dry. But there was just a little trickle coming down. Mm-hmm. And so we looked at the falls, and this fine hotel where we lived at was one of the chains in American chains. And it was built right in the middle of in the jungles. There's wild animals running all around, mm-hmm. and monkeys looking in your window. And I was in this room by myself, and I was scared to death.
Now, had you saved from when you were working to be able to do this, or did you just...
Just take the money and went on. See, my husband retired. He had a big bunch of money coming. Mm-hmm. And that's when we went to Africa again, he and I. Mm-hmm. We went to, we bought the Mercedes-Benz mm-hmm. in Germany. Mm-hmm. And we drove that car all over Europe, mm-hmm. 5,000 miles. And we had a wonderful time. And then we went to, we put it on the boat in Belgium. We drove up to Belgium and put the car on the boat. And we stayed in Antwerp, Belgium for 3 or 4 days. Mm-hmm. And then we had to have some more shots to get over into Africa. So from there we went to Cairo, Egypt. Mm-hmm. Oh, and we visited the Sphinx. We visited the pyramids. Mm-hmm. And you're talking about some beautiful people. Those are some beautiful people. Mm-hmm. But poverty is very prevalent there. You know, a lot of poverty. But, and people, oh, God, you've never seen so many people in all of your life mm-hmm. as you see in Cairo. Mm-hmm. But they're real nice people. And when we got there, Camille was there. She was supposed to meet us in Cairo. Mm-hmm. We had a reservation at the Hilton there, which we got in Cairo maybe that Tuesday. Mm-hmm. And our reservation wasn't until Friday. Mm-hmm. So we said, now where? We got off the plane, and he said, now where in the world is Camille? I'm talking about in a strange land. You can't read the writing. You can't understand what they were saying. So, man looked at our passports. I thought, gosh, is he going to send us back or what? He looked at him. So the man came up and grabbed hold of our suitcases. And honey, you have to follow them with your suitcase or else he'll take them out of your hands. So Walter managed to get his suitcases back. And no Camille. So we called up the American Express to see if she had contacted them, because she told us to contact the American Express. Mm-hmm. They hadn't heard from them. We said, what in the world are we going to do? Mm-hmm. We don't know what we're going to do. So while we were sitting there, I looked over there and it says, saw some writing in English. I said to Walter, oh look, there's a travel agent over there in English. Walt says, go over there and talk to him. So I went over there and talked to him. I says, my daughter was supposed to meet us here, and we're ahead of our schedule, so we don't know what hotel to go to. Oh, honey, he took charge of us, honey. Took charge of us, sent us to a fine hotel. And honey, when we walked into that hotel, they got down on their knees, and oh, they were so happy to see us, and they greeted us. And the funniest thing happened when we spent the night in this hotel. So the next day we said, well, we better get out of here and go and see if we can get our passports into the next country we were going to, because we couldn't get them here. Mm-hmm. So we went to... wanted to get our passports into Zambia. So when we went to get these passports in Zambia, we couldn't get them. So we came on back, and they keep your passports in the hotels till you get ready to leave. You know, you don't have your passports with you. So when we came back, we saw this car, and this person jumped out of this car and says, "Oh, Mama!" And it was Camille, and she was with her friend, her Egyptian friend, mm-hmm. riding down the street that we were staying on. And that's how we met her. And honey, we jumped on each other, and we cried, and we hugged, and we kissed. And we were so glad. Oh, we were glad. We were so glad to meet her. So we checked out of the hotel and went and stayed where she was staying. It was kind of a private house. Mm-hmm. It was very nice. Mm-hmm. Very nice. It was a villa, kind of a villa hotel. Mm-hmm. Got elevator and everything. Nice service. Food such as that you could eat, but you ate it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So we stayed there about 5 or 6, 3 or 4 days.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But we had to go back to the Hilton to cash all of your checks. And cab fare, you had to get a cab from this hotel back to the Hilton every day.
Mm-hmm.
So to cash a check, and then we ate at the Hilton.
Mm-hmm.
Until one day I went and was going to have some iced tea. I was putting some sugar in my tea, and there was a roach crawling out of the sugar. I said, "Oh, look at this roach."
Which country was it that you met the young woman who stayed with you?
Ethiopia. That was another trip.
Uh-huh.
That was the first trip we made. When we went to Ethiopia.
Mm-hmm.
That was a beautiful country, too.
Mm-hmm.
And beautiful people.
Mm-hmm.
There's a girl over there. That's her picture. Can you see it?
You had told me a little bit about this story before, that you had met her there?
We met her in Ethiopia.
Mm-hmm.
And Walter invited her to come here and go to school. And before we could get back home, she had accepted our invitation,
mm-hmm.
and was ready to come. So I wrote back and told her, "Don't come now, come in February."
Mm-hmm.
So she did, and she stayed with us 7 years,
mm-hmm.
rent free. We saw her through State College. She got a master's degree,
mm-hmm.
in dietetics. And when she got ready there, she worked in dietetics at the Martin Luther King Hospital. And was doing beautiful, just doing beautiful. And she met this fella that she loved, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so she got married and came back home here,
mm-hmm.
and married in this house.
So that's almost like another daughter.
We had, it was, oh, she's such a sweet girl.
Mm-hmm.
It's her name was Rahel.
Rahel?
Rahel. Uh-huh. But it's spelled R-A-H-E-L, just like you spell Rachel. It's Rahel. And she's such a sweet girl. I cried when she left.
mm-hmm.
When she left me.
Where is she now?
She's in Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
With her fiance, with her husband now.
Mm-hmm.
I think she got married. We went to Washington to live with him. He's finishing his program. He's getting his doctorate.
Mm-hmm.
He's also Ethiopian.
Mm-hmm.
Getting his doctorate in economics. So now I don't know whether they're going to stay in the States or whether they're going back to Ethiopia.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
So that's one of the things we did that really counted.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
How did you, I didn't ask you, how did you meet Walter?
He sang in the choir and I sang in the choir.
Mm-hmm.
I met him in the choir.
Mm-hmm. So at your church?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Met him in the choir.
Where was he working?
He's working at Sears Roebuck. He worked there for 29 years.
Wow.
Or 28 years.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And then he retired.
mm-hmm.
When he retired, that's when we took that trip when we went to Germany.
Oh.
To pick up the car.
Mm-hmm. But you, during the 2 years, in between, after...
Oh, I still worked at North America.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Was it hard for you,
Yeah.
being alone?
Mm-hmm. It was hard. Because I had a 15-year-old daughter, and she was going to private school.
Mm-hmm.
Catholic school. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was hard. Billy and Brownie was living with me then. Mm-hmm. They lived with me then.
Now, so did you just start dating after you'd met in the choir? Or?
In a fashion, you know. We just started going around together, you know. Just, he had a car and I didn't have one, so I just started going around with him. Mm-hmm. He'd bring me home from church. Mm-hmm. He's very nice. And he just, what Walter wasn't, I mean, Bill wasn't. See, Bill was an alcoholic. He didn't drink, he didn't smoke, and Bill did all those things. And he was a happy medium.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So they look quite different from
mm-hmm. Both of them born in October, almost the same date. Mm-hmm.
So much for astrology.
yeah, so much for astrology.
So then you decided to stay here and...
Oh, yeah.
...your daughter and her husband...
They moved out. Mm-hmm. They moved out. Mm-hmm. They moved over on 43rd Street from here. Mm-hmm. See, this is 29th, and they moved to 43rd Street. Mm-hmm. And so they stayed over there until they had... till Bill went to the hospital. Mm-hmm. No. Let me see. It's been so long, I can hardly remember. Bill went to the hospital from this house, that's right. And he died while they were here. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Died in Pasadena. Mm-hmm.
And then after you married, they moved over there to Walter?
Yeah, to Walter's old house. Mm-hmm. At that time, houses were hard to get.
Mm-hmm. Did she have one child?
She had one child then. Mm-hmm. She had four children. I think some of them was born out in the valley, or they were born on 43rd Street, I forgot. Mm-hmm.
Did she continue to work for the phone company? Or?
Oh, no, she couldn't work when she was having those children. Mm-hmm. No, she never worked. Mm-hmm. I think she sold a little bit. Mm-hmm. Brownie, we call him Brownie, he took care of her. Mm-hmm. He took care of her. He died too, you know. Uh-huh. Yeah, Brownie died when he was 43 years old. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he died.
So does she still live in the area?
No, she's living in the valley. Uh-huh. When he died. Mm-hmm. Just died all of a sudden, had a heart attack. Mm-hmm. Died all of a sudden. Mm-hmm. He had been an alcoholic too.
Is she still out in that area?
No, she lives in Honolulu.
Oh,
she's married again.
So she remarried?
Yeah, got a German husband. Mm-hmm. German. Carl, his name is Carl May. Mm-hmm. M-A-E. No, M-A-I. Mm-hmm. Pure-blooded German. Yeah. He was in German during the war, German war. Mm-hmm. And ooh, if we say welfare in front of him, he almost dies. You don't know what it is to be poor. Stop saying that. Stop talking about welfare. Mm-hmm. See, because he said, you don't know what it is to be poor. Mm-hmm. Like the Germans were after the war.
Mm-hmm. How did you feel about her, after going through your own time during the war, being in this country and working in a war plant and everything, plus just your own upbringing, how did you feel about her marrying a German?
It didn't make any difference to me. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm not prejudiced at uh-huh. all. Uh-huh. You know, since I had that little stroke, I had a little stroke, you know, when I was in New York a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. And my speech isn't quite as it used to be. I get kind of tongue twisted once in a while. Mm-hmm. 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 I didn't think anything of it. They're even grown. They do what they want to do. Mm-hmm. What can I say?
I mean, just as far as people, how have you felt about the people that your daughters have chosen to be with?
Oh, well, they had gone to school with them, lived with them, so they choose that to live with, so it's all right. It was all right with me. And they were nice, the men, very nice men. I didn't see any difference. And they didn't treat me any different. Beautiful men, beautiful men.
Did anyone else in your family react to that at all?
Or no. Because you see, that's my mother's picture up there, see? See, we've always been into, it's always been that in my family. My grandmother was married to an Irishman. And she was not a slave, but she was married to, let me see, my great-grandmother, who was a slave, was married to this white man. His name was Moultrie Weston. You know, I can go back to my fourth generation. Her name was Phoebe Ward, and he was the son of her, of her master, and he saw Phoebe, who was a beautiful, beautiful girl, and he just wanted her, and he wanted to marry her. They had 8 children together, and they all had a college education in those days. All had a college education. Their names was Westons. All Westons were related.
And that's on your mother's?
Yeah, on my mother's side. I don't know anything about my father's people. Don't know anything about them at all.
Now, then, that's your great-grandmother.
My great-grandmother.
And then, was it one of her daughters or sons that came next in your line then? Or, that, I mean, how does the family go?
What, my mother's sisters and brothers?
Well, what, so was that then, that was your mother's, was your mother's mother one of those 8 children?
Yeah. My mother's mother, yeah, was one of the 8 children from West, Moultrie and Phoebe. And they were all half-white children, half-white. And they say they were beautiful. We had a one aunt by the name of Gracie, Aunt Gracie. Aunt Gracie was real light, and they say she had beautiful chestnut hair. They used to say she could sit on it. Aunt Gracie. And my grandmother was was the most beautiful girl in the country, they called it at that time. So she had natural pink cheeks. And she was so beautiful until people used to come by to just to look at Louise. She was so beautiful. And when she was 16, she married a man that had 6 children. When she was 16. And she had 8. She had 8 children, which included my mother.
Now, so your grandmother had a college education.
Yeah, they all had college.
What had she been trained to do, do you know? Or?
Well, they were dressmakers and what have you. You know, they were fine dressmakers. No, it was a college in South Carolina. I think the college, the name of the college, I think it's still in existence. College, the name of the college is Claflin University.
Claflin,
where they went to. And they say it's still there. It's right next door to the State College.
And so
my grandmother's children all went to college too. My mother's a college graduate. She went to Benedict. Benedict College in Columbia, South Carolina.
Were those black colleges, or were they?
Well, they were black then. Benedict was a black college, and they had all white northern teachers from the north that came down and taught at Benedict.
Was Claflin also?
Yeah, and they all.